Are you experiencing the real power of prayer? That's the topic today on Bold Steps.
Faith is believing God and the character of God and the promises of God. Faith is this ultimate trust in that God is good and that what God says is true. And so when we come to God, we come believing that He can and believing that He does reward those that diligently seek Him.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Job. Mark is the senior pastor of New Life Community Church and the president of Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Yesterday, we started a powerful three-part study on prayer from James chapter 5. Mark explained that prayer is a learned habit that grows deeper through practice, just like any other spiritual discipline. Today, he continues by exploring the connection between prayer and healing. And as you'll hear, God's healing power extends far beyond just the physical. It touches our emotions, our relationships, and spiritual lives as well. Let's get right back into our study now with Mark Job.
What are you turning to in this season? Because the right answer is that we turn to God. Could I ask you to identify what season you're in? You don't have to say it out loud, but what is the one word that describes the season that you're in right now? Think about it for a moment. Yeah. So I want to look at what James is saying about this season. He says, are you in a season of trouble? You need to pray. If you're in a season of trouble where you are in trouble, and there are some people in this auditorium right now that you are in trouble. Some of you may be in trouble with the law. I pray for people all the time that come and say, hey, pastor, I have a court date happening next week. Will you pray for me? And I always pray that God would show them favor, but they're in trouble. Maybe you're in some sort of trouble with your job or trouble in your marriage or trouble with your physical health. I don't know, but when you're in trouble, it means that you turn to God and you say, there is a lot of things that I can do, but there's a lot of things that I can't do. And so in the midst of my trouble, I look to the heavens and my trust is in you, God, because I can't solve this trouble, only you can. I can't move this mountain, only you can. I can't change that heart, oh God, but only you can. And so my trust is in you, God. I look to the heavens in my time of trouble and I say, God, only you can solve this problem because I don't see a way out of this, God. Only you are the one that can do something in this difficult time in my life. You are the God that I turn to in my time of trouble. Thank you, Lord. James says, but maybe it's opposite. Maybe you're happy at this time. Maybe this is the best season of your life. Maybe you just got engaged and you're celebrating the fact that you're getting married pretty soon. Maybe you just got a job promotion and you're so excited about the new job that you've entered into. Maybe this is a time where you just got good news from the doctor or a season of life that you're enjoying like no other season and you're happy. And what James is saying is even in our time of great celebration, we turn to God. It's a different kind of turning to God. It's not the petition on our knees desperately crying out to God. He says, if you're happy, he says, let them sing songs of praise. This means that you turn your attention to God and you start to celebrate the goodness of God. It means that you open up your mouth and you say, God, you are good and I bless you. I honor you, God, because you're faithful. And every good and perfect gift comes from above. And so I'm blessing you for the good gift that I have right now. And the season that I'm living in, you, oh God, are the one that's opened up this season. You, oh God, are the one that God has opened up these doors for this season of my life to be such a great season of celebration. You begin to sing and praise God because He's worthy of your praise and worthy of your adoration. You say, but Pastor, I'm not a singer. The people beside you already know that. But some of you, you're not singers, but you can make a joyful noise. It's a lot of noise, not very melodic noise. Maybe it's not in tune, but you're making a joyful noise. You know, when Jesus was entering into Jerusalem and the people were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, and making a big, big ordeal about his coming, some of the disciples were told, hey, tell the people to settle down. Tell them to quiet down. And Jesus said, if they don't praise me, the rocks on the street will start praising me. Because God, the God of the universe, all creation declares the goodness of God and the power of God. And so you are shutting down the fountain of the blessing of God when your lips do not praise him and good is happening in your life. There's a time when you should sing out. There's a time when you should lift your voice and praise God. There's a time where you should look to the heavens and say, God, every single good gift is from you. The question I have for you is, where do you turn? In the season of life. In trouble, you turn in prayer. In happiness, you turn in prayer through singing and rejoicing. And then he says, is anybody sick among you? Even in your bed of sickness, he says, let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. There's different kinds of prayers and turning to God. But the question is, are you turning to God? What are you doing in this season? What are you turning to? Are you turning more heavily to your addiction because it's a tough time? Are you drinking more heavily? Snorting those lines of cocaine more often? Going into the back room and smoking weed more often because it's a stressful time? You're going to the refrigerator and just piling out all the sweets because you're trying to feel good for a moment. What are you doing in this difficult time? Calling up the old girlfriend because you're feeling lonely? Are you drowning yourself in work because you just want to pull it out of your mind? Turning up the volume and trying to act like it doesn't, distracting your mind, mindlessly scrolling through social media to try to distract yourself from the loneliness inside of your heart, the depression inside of your soul, this aimlessness that you're living through. What are you turning to in this season? And what James is saying is that no matter what season it is, if you're a follower of God, if you are a follower of God through Jesus the Christ, you should be turning your attention to God in prayer one way or the other. If you're sick, he's not telling you not to go to the doctor, by the way. And I run into some believers that somehow have a feeling that if they go to the doctor, that it's that they're not believing or that they're not having faith. And can I tell you something? Luke was a doctor. Matthew, Mark, Luke, he was one of the writers of the gospel. So you're going to a doctor does not indicate a lack of faith. Are you okay with that? Yeah. Now, there are certain limitations that doctors have, and doctors can't solve everything, but God Almighty can. He's Jehovah Rapha, the God that supersedes the doctors. And so please, go to a doctor if you're sick. But don't neglect prayer. Just like I would tell you, hey, if your car's not working, I'm glad you're laying hands on your car and asking that God would revive it. But, you know, take it to the mechanic, too. The mechanic helps at all as well. But don't just pray that automatically God would give you an oil change and fill up your gas tank. You know, sometimes we got to put some work on our side. And it's not a lack of faith for you to take your car to the mechanic. And it's not a lack of faith for you to go to the doctor. But you have to understand that doctors have limits. God has no limit on the power that he has to bring about physical healing. No limit at all. He is Jehovah Rapha, the God that formed you in your mother's womb. He knows the intricacies of your body. He has the ability to unclog things. He has the ability to stop the spread of cancer. He has the ability to reverse diseases in our life. Doctors are limited by the ability of their medication, but God has no limit to his power. And so we go to the doctor, but we call upon the name of the Lord, Jehovah Rapha, to move in and heal that which the doctors cannot heal. And he tells us specifically what kind of prayer. He says, go to the elders. By the way, here he's not talking about elder people, older people in the church. He's talking about spiritual elders, which are overseers with the calling of God upon their life to watch out for the good of the congregation. And there's a list of qualifications for elders. We have elders here at New Life Community Church. And every fourth Sunday of the month, we actually have the elders come together, anoint people with oil, and pray for their healing. Now, anointing with oil is mentioned 20 times in Scripture. And for those of you that are a little bit confused about what anointing with oil is about, it was used in the Old Testament for pouring on the head of the high priest and his descendants. And it was also used in sprinkling of the tabernacle and its furnishing to mark them as holy and set apart unto God. There is nothing magical about oil when we anoint people on their foreheads and pray for their healing. What it's saying, though, is that the Holy Spirit is here present. It's symbolic of the presence of the Holy Spirit so that no one will ever think that person healed me. Pastor Mark healed me. I don't heal anybody. None of the elders heal anybody. It is God through his power that heals people. So all glory and honor goes to King Jesus. The oil is symbolic of the presence of the Holy Spirit and his power to consecrate things unto himself. And so we pray over people in Jesus' name, anointing them with oil, pointing to God as the ultimate healer. What season are you in right now? And let me ask you this. Are you turning to God in prayer during this season? Number two, James not only says that God is to be turned to in every season that we're in, but he also points to the power of prayer in healing. Notice what it says in verse 15. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Then James turns his attention to physical healing. And I believe, by the way, the emphasis is on physical healing, but I believe that God heals physically. I believe God heals emotionally, and I believe that God heals spiritually. You are, as a person, are, some scholars call it the trichotomy of man. You have a body, that sometimes that body gets diseased or broken, or there's hereditary genetic diseases that may affect your body. But you also have a soul, a personality that oftentimes can be traumatized, can be bruised, can be damaged, and needs healing. And you also have a spirit. And that spirit part of you is the part that relates to God. And that spirit part of you also sometimes needs the healing power of God, because you can expose your spirit to open doors in your life that need to be closed and dealt with by God. So when we talk about healing, we're talking about taking that which is broken, that which is not healthy, and restoring it to health once again.
You're listening to Mark Jobe on Bold Steps. We'll continue with today's message in just a moment. But first, Mark, I want to highlight something that's really become a cornerstone of our ministry, the Bold Stepper Weekly Devotional.
Yeah, thanks, Wayne. Many of you have heard about our Bold Stepper Weekly. It's an email that comes every Monday morning for free. It's loaded up with
devotional thoughts, updates with the ministry, some audio options that you have as well if you're driving or working out. And our goal is just to encourage you in your walk with God. We recently got a response from John, who wrote to us after reading one of the recent devotionals, and he said this, "Dr. Job, hi, I'm John. Thank you so much for your story from high school. What a metaphor to remind me who to keep my eyes on. My wife and I just talked yesterday about being right where God wants us. Wrestling was a passion of mine. This message describes where my family and I are right now. Thank you for the reminder from the Lord where we need to be. Thank you again, brother." John, thank you for those words of encouragement. And yes, if I remember right, it was the story of being in a tight position and having to look to my coach and say, "Hey, what do I do now?" Like we have to look to God and ask, "God, what do we do now?"
And I hope we'll hear from other listeners this week, Mark. So if you haven't subscribed yet, just visit boldsteps.org and sign up for the Bold Stepper Weekly. It's delivered straight to your inbox each week, completely free, and it's such a valuable way to stay connected with this ministry. Again, that's boldsteps.org. Right now, as promised, back to Mark's message on the power of prayer here on Bold Steps.
What James is saying in this passage is that, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. I want you to understand that every answer that comes to us from the hand of God is accompanied by a prayer of faith. You say, well, what is faith? Faith is believing God and the character of God and the promises of God. Faith is this ultimate trust in that God is good and that what God says is true. And so when we come to God, we come believing that He can and believing that He does reward those that diligently seek Him. I want you to understand that your faith is not in faith. Your faith is in the sovereignty and goodness of God. Faith is not manipulating God with our belief. There are some distortions out there within Christianity that almost make it feel like if you have faith enough and whatever it is that you want from God, as long as you have faith, that you obligate God to give it to you as long as you have faith. And so I'll run into people and they're putting a picture of a Rolls Royce on their refrigerator and on their mirror, and they're looking at it and they're saying, "I declare it in Jesus' name. I name it in Jesus' name. This Rolls Royce is mine. I see myself in it. I'm driving it. I declare it. I proclaim it. I see it. I call it out in Jesus' name." And you expect that God has to give it to you. Can I tell you something? God will not be manipulated by man. God is God and God is sovereign. And He may want you to drive a broken down, rusty Chevy and praise God in Jesus' name that you have a Chevy to drive in. Because our faith is not in faith. Our faith is in the sovereignty of God and the goodness of God. And so we come in faith to God, saying, "God, we're believing you, but not my will be done, but yours be done. Because ultimately, your ways are higher than my ways, and your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And I don't know what's best. You know what's best. And so I have a desire in my heart, and I'll pray for it, God. But ultimately, I declare that you are sovereign. Give me what you want. Lord, I trust in you. My faith is not in faith, but my faith is in the goodness and the power of God." I think we get into some dangerous theology as well if every time you believe that God is obligated to heal every time you pray. If God were obligated to heal every time we pray, then we would have people in this auditorium that are 650 years old. Because no one ever wants to die. Everybody ever wants to pray for another decade, another life, another healing. And so we would have people that are 700, 800 years old because every time you pray, you'd pray that they live. But the truth is that our days are numbered and our life expires, and it's not God's will that you would live forever on this earth. It's God's will that this body would be buried and that you would go to the presence of God, and you will live forever in your soul and spirit, but not physically. And so when we impose on people this idea of that they're sick because they have not enough faith, we come to God and we say, God, we ask you to heal us. Our trust is in you. We're calling upon you, but not my will be done, but yours be done, Lord God Almighty. When Jesus was going to the cross, Jesus did not want to go through the cross. But when he called unto the Father, he said, Lord, let this cup pass from me. But not my will be done, but yours be done. And the Father led him to the cross of suffering, even though he did not want to go to the cross of suffering, but he submitted to the will of the Father because it was the only way for you and I to experience salvation. And then he goes on to say, not only is it the faith in our prayer that's offered that brings about healing to our body, but I want you to notice what he says in verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Now, this concept of confessing our sins to one another may be a foreign concept to some of you. Some of you were raised in traditions where you had a ritual that you followed that you called confessional. And so I've had people once in a while walk in this auditorium and say, Pastor, you have a confessional booth? And we know, no, we have no confessional booth. We do encourage you to confess your sins, but we tell you, listen to me, you have one mediator between God and man, and that is Jesus the Christ. There is no second, third, or fourth in between. You go directly to God through Jesus the Christ, and your sins are forgiven. There is no in-between that forgives your sin. Jesus is the one that forgives you of your sins. There is one Savior. His name is Jesus the Christ. So when you need your sins forgiven, don't come to me and say, Pastor, I'm here for you to forgive me my sins. I'm a sinner that needs to be forgiven just like you do. I go to the same one that can forgive my sins that you do, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who died for me, washed me, cleansed me, and paid the price for my sins, and you have direct access to God the Father. Then you say, then why do we need to confess to one another? The confession to one another is not for the forgiveness. The confession to one another is for the healing of our souls. And I want you to notice that the Bible doesn't say, confess your sins to a pastor or a priest or a clergy. The Bible says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Why do we confess our sins to one another? We confess our sins to one another because the enemy loves to keep the secret sins of our heart and use it as a tool of condemnation, guilt, and shame upon our lives. Some of you in this auditorium lived with secret sins that condemn you. And some of you, when you walk into an auditorium like this, you walk with shame and guilt. You walk as though there's a disease within your soul that you don't want anybody to know about. And you think to yourself, if they knew what I had done, what I said, what I thought, they would not sit next to me. They would leave an open space between me and them because there is darkness in my soul. Look up at me. I want you to know that every person in this auditorium is a sinner just like you. I want you to know that there is, all of us here have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I want you to know that all of us here, all of us have shame and darkness in our soul that only the Son of Man can take away, Jesus the Christ. And when you allow that darkness with outgoing confessed, when you allow it to simmer within your soul, when you allow the accusations of the enemy just to point fingers at you and to accuse you, what it does is it takes away your praise. It puts labels upon you. It labels you. It identifies you as someone that is identified by the sin of their past. And I just want you to understand and know that we confess our sin because confession allows us to speak of our sin and let others into our shame and know of it. And others then can hear it. And typically others can say, I know what you feel. I understand because I have my own sin as well. Let me pray over you. And let me ask that God would begin to heal your life and take that shame and condemnation away from you so that you are a part of the body of Christ and you are one with all these others that are here as well because we're all washed and forgiven by the blood of Jesus the Christ.
That's Mark Job with a second of a three-part message titled The Power of Prayer. And you're listening to Bold Steps. We'll wrap up this study tomorrow. But before we go, we want to encourage you to visit our website, boldsteps.org, and request your copy of this month's Bold Step gift. Mark, in your devotional, Growing in Christ, you cover 52 different topics throughout the year. And tell us more about this.
Yeah, and so it's a series of devotionals, different topics that are very practical. Like the very first one is called Connected But Not Alone, out of 1 Kings chapter 19. You know, we're going to talk about what it means to feel like God isn't there at times, and or from death to life in week 6 out of Ezekiel chapter 37, or amplifying worship in week 12 out of 2 Chronicles, or Habits for Life out of week 18 out of Luke chapter 10. These are practical devotionals that capture our attention and hopefully help us get out of our routine of being the same and start to grow and change. That's why we've called it Growing in Christ.
Every year we start with good intentions, don't we? We have all the intention in the world of doing things differently, of changing, growing spiritually. But somewhere along the line, we didn't take that action step necessary. This could be your action step.
That's right. They tell us that usually after week 4 or 5, it dramatically drops the resolutions that we've made. A book like this has 52. If you're consistent in it, you can finish the year knowing that you have been consistent in at least thinking through areas that you need to grow, change, and mature in.
We'll send you this special new devotional today when you give a financial gift of any amount to support Bold Steps. Just give us a call at 800-DL-MOODY. That's 800-356-6639. Or give and request this Bold Step gift online at boldsteps.org/give. And you can also send that gift through the mail. Write to us at Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Now, if you're looking for more ways to engage with Bold Steps, we've got two YouTube channels you want to check out. Our main channel, Bold Steps with Mark Job, features teaching clips, YouTube shorts on relevant topics like identity, marriage, and relationships, plus behind-the-scenes moments and extended video content. It's a great way to experience Mark's teaching in a visual format. And if you prefer watching full radio programs like this one, subscribe to Bold Steps with Mark Job programs. Either way, our mission stays the same, bringing God's Word into your heart and life wherever you are. That's our time for today. I'm Wayne Shepherd, reminding you to join us next time for the conclusion of our message titled The Power of Prayer. That's coming up Wednesday on Bold Steps with Mark Job. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.